Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, April 2nd, 2007, and you are listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. This podcast is brought to you by the American College of Sexologists. The ACS provides professional standards for training and certification of sexologists, as well as those institutions that are offering training in sexology. The ACS recognizes and promotes other professionals from diverse disciplines who are involved in the fields of sexology and erotology. You can visit them on the web at www.AmericanCollegeOfSexologists.org. I'll have more to say about this important resource at the end of the show. I have a great show lined up for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. This is a no-pressure voicemail kind of deal. No human will answer, least of all me. So don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. My first correspondent today is Andrew from Lynchburg, Virginia. He's 37 and he writes, "Hi, Richard. I have a question and I hope you have some insight for me. When I come, my fluids don't shoot out of my cock. I have volume, but it just doesn't go anywhere. I'm on some meds, but I also take some vitamins, and I don't know if any of this is a factor. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thank you." Hey, Andrew. The problem you describe is a common one, and the solution is relatively simple. It lies in, of all things, muscle mechanics. An ejaculation is primarily a muscle contraction, built-up energy being released, thus the squirt. Or a dribble most likely indicates poor muscle tone. But there's an easy and fun solution, or more properly, an exercise. Kegel exercises, to be precise. Let's start at the beginning, which is always a good place to begin, don't you know? Your prostate is the source of your ejaculate. You have a handle on that concept, right? Good. Now picture a turkey baster. Imagine your prostate as the bulb on the one end and your dick as the stalk with a hole in it on the other. Picture the baster pointed upwards, like your cock with an erection. Imagine the bulb is full of fluid, and you need to get that fluid out the bulb, up the stalk, and out the hole, just like your spooge when you come. How are you going to do that? A firm grasp on the bulb and a hefty squeeze, that's how. So, Andrew, if you're dribbling instead of shooting, your muscles need to be strengthened and toned. And like I said, I have just the right exercise for you. Anyone who is paying the least bit attention to the ranting and raving of Dr. Dick will immediately be familiar with Kegel exercises. I talk about them a lot. And those who haven't been paying attention, listen up, you monkeys. Kegel exercises serve to tone and strengthen the pubococcygeus muscle, or as we in the business know it as, the PC muscle, which is part of the muscle group at the floor of your pelvis. The health of this muscle group plays a vital role in getting it up and getting it off, as well as other aspects of genital functioning. Kegel exercises help increase blood flow to the genital area, i.e., getting it up, and Kegel exercises strengthen and tone the muscles that are involved in ejaculation, i.e., getting it off. If you exercise this muscle regularly, you will gain greater control over the timing and the strength of your ejaculations. Kegel exercises can also prevent incontinence and other problems associated with aging, but we'll save that for another time. So you're probably saying to yourself, "Sure, Dr. Dick, I'd love to strengthen my PC muscle, but I never heard of this muscle before, let alone know where to find it." Alrighty then, Andrew, here's what you do. Work up a full bladder. The more full your bladder, the better. Go to the John and sit on the toilet. Yeah, just like a girl. Now let the pee flow. As you're doing that, I want you to interrupt the stream of piss several times before you empty your bladder. The muscle you are using to do this is your PC muscle. Now look to distinguish between your PC muscle and your anal sphincter muscles. With a little practice, you'll become adept at separating out these two muscle groups. Actually, strengthening all your pelvic muscles is a swell idea, especially for power bottoms. But again, we'll save that topic for another time, too. Now that you've located your PC muscle, you can exercise it at will, even when your bladder is completely empty. First, try squeezing your PC muscle as hard as you can for a count of 3 seconds. Then relax. Repeat this until you can feel the muscle tiring. How fun is this? I want you to work for both muscle strength and tone. For example, start with 5 prolonged squeezes, 5 seconds apiece. Relax. Then do a series of 10 rapid contractions in a row. Doing 3 sets of each of these twice a day for a week is your goal. When you are ready to proceed, try increasing this to 3 sets of 8 or 10 prolonged squeezes and 20 rapid contractions per set. The advanced Kegler will be able to vary the type and timing of his PC squeezing, slow clenches to quick flutters. If you keep this up, you'll be shooting jizz across the room in no time. And the beauty part of Kegel exercises is you can do them whenever and wherever you like. You can be sitting in a meeting with your boss and be doing your Kegel exercises. You can be arguing with your boyfriend and be doing your Kegel exercises. You can be watching reruns of Leave It to Beaver with your maiden aunt and be doing Kegel exercises. Who would have guessed improving your sexual health would be such a pleasure? Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what's that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Okay, next we hear from Jane from Vancouver, BC. Yay! Jane's 23. She writes, when my boyfriend and I have sex, there's a 50-50 chance that he will put his penis between my butt cheeks and hump me that way until he comes. It's just intense rubbing, no anal penetration. Even though I don't feel like I'm getting any pleasure from it, my vagina gets wet, and if he touches me down there and feels that I'm wet, it turns him on even more. What's going on here? He's very affectionate, and he tells me that he loves my body. He says he's totally straight, but this whole anal thing confuses me. If he's not gay or bisexual, why is it that it takes him 20-plus minutes to come during vaginal sex, but only 5 to 7 minutes to come during anal? Okay, Jane, you're the winner of the Most Confused About the Concept Award for this week. I won't hold that against you, just want you to know that you are distinguished among this week's correspondents. To start with, your BF isn't doing anal, or as we like to call it, butt-fucking. Believe me, darling, you'd know if he were. Anal sex, by definition, means anal penetration. Second, your pussy is getting wet because your boyfriend's pre-cum and spooge is dripping down your crack past your taint and all over your pussy. It ain't you producing the wetness, which explains why you're not aroused. I hope that clears up the mystery juice for you. Third, loads of exclusively straight men are into anal. Most are into butt-fucking their women, but some are even into being fucked by their women. We call this practice pegging. A woman straps on a mighty fine dildo and drives her man insane with an ass-pounding he'll not soon forget. Oh, and some women like to take it up the ass, too. Fucking is not just for cunts anymore. Just so you don't think that I'm making all of this up, I moseyed on over to the Dr. Dick How-To Video Library. You'll find a link right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. I wanted to take a look at what kind of smut straight folks are renting these days. And here's what I found. Of the top 25 titles, 10 were anal-related titles. Big, black, wet, butt orgy. 3. That means there are 2 other big, black, wet, butt orgies. Double bubble white booty. Squirt in my gape. 2. Bore my asshole. Blow it out your ass. Big Latin wet butts. 6. Holy cow. How to perform a prostate massage. Oh my god, an educational title. How did that get in there? Nothing but as. Poke her hot ass. Now that gets high marks for creativity. And finally, Ass Jazz 4. Now that was more of an education than I had bargained for. You straight folks are funky. So let's review, shall we? Now that we know for certain that an interest in cornhole and a sweet ass is not just for the gays anymore, you can relax about your boyfriend being queer for wanting to hump your bum. Oh, and by the way, there's a name for what your freaky boyfriend is doing, rubbing his cock in your crack, but not penetrating you. It's a form of frottage, or sexual stimulation by rubbing. This is the sexual practice of choice for most lesbians, most commonly referred to as pussy bumping. But I digress. Let's get back to frottage. For some guys, this is their favorite kind of sex. They love to bust a nut rubbing their dicks between a chick's tits, thighs, or feet. It's anyone's guess why these guys prefer this to getting off in, on, or around a pussy, but whatever it is, it's completely harmless. Here's a tip, Jane. Relax into this with the old BF, why don't you? Once you stop worrying about his sexual orientation because of his fascination with your behind, you may actually enjoy the special attention he's paying to your booty. And hey, if your BF's freak with your ass crack isn't getting you off, you don't have to just lay there and take it, you know. While he's grinding away back there, you could be spending some quality time with Little Miss Clit. So you'll be enjoying things as much as he is pretty damn soon. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what's that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Okay, our next correspondent is Samuel from Arkansas. And he's 36 and he writes, 8 years ago I was involved with a woman who liked to fuck me in the ass with a strap on. I liked it a lot. And when we stopped seeing each other, I missed the sensation. I've tried hooking up with other women who want to do this to me, but I've only found a few, and all of them were looking for a relationship, something I don't want. Eventually, I turned to men for the anal action I was missing. Some of the guys are gay, some are bi, and some are straight. We never hug, kiss, or do oral. I just receive, never give. I don't see a guy for more than a couple of times. Now, there seems to be fewer and fewer guys out there who want this tight ass to fuck. I prefer women, but men will do. I just really get off on the sensation. Well, aren't you a charming fucker? I mean, fucky. You don't have a clue about how selfish you're being, do you? And you're wondering why the pool of people willing to pound your tight ass is drying up? It's not the lack of fuckers out there. It's you. Listen, Samuel, there are some basics that you seem to have overlooked when it comes to partnered sex. First among these is you need at least a modicum of mutuality in your sex play. Did you ever hear of give to get? One can only guess why the first woman who strapped one on for you fled the scene. Maybe she discovered that you're just in this for yourself. And the other women who pegged your ass. They did so hoping they'd get something in return. Even the guys are departing in droves, and it's all your fault, Samuel. And you know what else? I'd be willing to bet that you're getting a reputation for yourself there in Arkansas. Nobody likes a self-absorbed prick. And that kind of bad rep gets around fast, especially in the hinterlands. Anybody wanting to get laid as much as you ought really consider learning how to finesse the fuck he wants. Let's start with the women. Most women are unaccustomed to being a top. They would feel pretty self-conscious with a strap-on. In exchange for the kind of extraordinary sex you are looking for, most women would want something in return. Most would feel more comfortable exercising a kink in a relationship of some sort or another. They have little or nothing else to gain. And if your behaviors with men are any indication of the sex you have with women, it's surprising to me that you got pegged at all. Not surprisingly, most men are a lot like most women. While there are a few of us men's out there who will fuck whatever presents itself, even they will look for something in return besides your tight ass to fuck. And here's a tip. Most guys who crow about how tight their ass is are deluding themselves, and I'd be very surprised if your insatiable hole is as in pristine condition as you think it is. I have several suggestions for you, Samuel. First and foremost, treat your partners, even your casual hookups, with some dignity. Each one is more than a stiff dick or a dildo for you to pleasure yourself with. If you want to prevent the pool of available fuckers from evaporating completely, show some humanity yourself. Find out what turns your partner's crank and get him warmed up for the fucking event. If it takes some hugging, kissing, and a blowjob, take care of business. It's the least you can do. Finally, if you have a preference for women, and the idea of hugging, kissing, and blowing some dude just to get your ass fucked, rethink your aversion to having a relationship. There are all kinds of relationships, from fuck buddies to marriage. Surely you can find it in your heart to reward the woman willing to peg your hungry ass with a little something more than, "Catch you later, bitch. Good luck." Okay. Moving right along. Our next correspondent is Steve from San Francisco, and he's 24. He writes, "When I was very young, my father kidnapped my sister and I and raped our mother in front of us. I had blocked it out of my memory, but when I became sexually active, I began remembering all that had happened. I have a hard time enjoying sex, and I always feel the need to be really cautious when I do have sex, afraid that I'll hurt them somehow. When I'm having sex, and I feel that the other person might be experiencing pain, even if they tell me they're not, or that it's good pain, I get turned off immediately. Another thing is I've never been able to come with another person. I have no problems when I'm masturbating, but I can't do it when I'm having sex with someone. Any advice would be great. Thanks." Hey, Steve. Thanks for your message. I am so happy to see that you want to work through the trauma you experienced as a child and establish a healthy, balanced sex life for yourself as an adult. I do have several things I want to say to you and any others in my audience who have regrettable early sexual experiences in their past. But before I do, I want to strongly suggest that you not try to work through this on your own. You will have greater success in less time if you work with a sex-positive therapist. How can I connect with a sex-positive therapist, you might ask? Great question. You're lucky, Steve, you live in San Francisco. Sex-positive therapists abound in the Bay Area. For those not so centrally located, or for anyone, even in a big city, who wouldn't know how to begin a search for a therapist, I have this really great resource for you. Interestingly enough, they are the sponsors of today's show, the American College of Sexologists. Visit the directory page on their website, www.americancollegeofsexologists.org. You will find listings for certified sexologists and sex therapists all over the world. If there is no one near you, contact the person closest to you and ask for a referral. Often, my fellow ACS therapists and sexologists are well connected to the broader sex-positive communities in their area. I encourage you to find a therapist you are comfortable with and can trust. But wait, how am I supposed to do that if I've never met the therapist before? Ah, a good point. My suggestion is to arrange for a free half-hour get-to-know-you session. Every therapist worth working with will be flexible enough to offer you this opportunity for a meet-and-greet. If you encounter a therapist that is too busy or can't be bothered with this free half-hour nicety, check that therapist off your list. Once in the therapist's office, have a look around. Are you comfortable? Does the therapist have a style and demeanor that suits you? Do you imagine yourself being able to open up to that therapist? If so, the hardest part is done. If the therapist you are interviewing does not engender your confidence, thank the therapist for his or her time and move on. A word of advice to anyone asking a therapist for a free half-hour get-to-know-you session. Be courteous. A therapist's time is money. If you run over your allotted free time, even by a few minutes, be ready to pay the therapist for the remainder of the hour. Remember, the therapist is taking stock of you during this get-to-know-you session, too. If you don't come prepared for the session with some general information about yourself and some questions for the therapist about his or her style of therapy, you'll be wasting everyone's time. Now back to you, Steve. It's my experience that most people have had to endure some kind of sexually related trauma in their lives. Of course, some trauma, like the one you report, is more severe than others. But thanks to the indomitable human spirit, most of us live through our difficulties and go on to healthy, integrated sex lives of our own. This is not to suggest that there will be no scar tissue from your trauma. Our painful memories can remain with us for as long as we live. However, we can learn to insulate ourselves from continued pain or having the trauma inflicted by another replay itself in our behaviors. You say you feel stuck and troubled by some of your partnered sex experiences, that the sexual violence you witnessed as a child is affecting your sex play as an adult. This is nothing to wink at, my friend. You're facing a very serious crossroads. You need to be able to get a handle on this as quickly as possible, now, as a young adult. Because if you don't, there will be dire consequences for you later in your life. I appreciate you sharing your concerns with me, but there's no way I could offer you the proper therapy you need in this podcast. You must seek the help that you need from a trained professional. Don't hesitate, Steve. Get on this right away. And everyone here at Dr. Dick's Sex Advice will be rooting for you. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what's that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Okay, moving right along. Our final correspondent is Tammy from Chicago. She's 32 and writes, My innermost desire is to have a dominant type male take control in sex and get down and dirty with me. But I never meet that kind of guy in my regular social life. It doesn't seem like such a difficult thing, but it's been out of my reach all of my life. It has left me feeling like I don't even want to get involved with anyone anymore, because I'll only have to deal with the disappointment. I feel like I'm at a dead end and really troubled about it. Tammy, darling, don't despair. Clearly, you're looking in the wrong place for the thing that you desire most. Before I get too far into this, I just want to check to make sure that I understand you correctly. When you say you want a dominant type of man to take control in sex, I'm going to assume that you don't mean some loutish, uncouth Neanderthal who will treat you like shit, right? You do, however, want a man to dominate you, but not without respecting you first, right? Okay, let's start there. The first thing you need to do is to come out as a perv, sweetheart. Yeah, like pervert. That's what the folks in the kink community call themselves. You're a kinky perv. Say it loud, say it proud. And you need to connect with other kinky pervs. There may be some closeted pervs in your current social circle, but you'll probably never know for sure. Times being what they are, most kinksters keep that information for others in the kink community. So it's high time to shift gears and start socializing with that community. They'll welcome you, embrace you, and help you realize your innermost desire. Once you can admit to yourself who you are and can name what you are looking for, you will have more success in finding what you want. Tammy, you are a submissive in search of a dom or dominant. You're also going to need to figure out if you are looking for a casual hookup or if you want to make this a lifestyle. Here's a tip. Kinksters and pervs alike will be less likely to embrace you if they think you're a dilettante. A true dom-sub relationship is one that permeates all layers of a person's life, not just in the bedroom. In fact, most dom-sub relationships are not based in sex at all. That's not to say that sex is ruled out, of course. It's just that these relationships are not centered on sex. Begin the process of self-identification by taking stock of who you are. Everything from your taste in music to your spirituality and politics. The more you know about yourself, the easier it will be to connect with the dom of your dreams. The internets, as our beloved president likes to call it, is going to be your best friend as you begin your search. You'll need to know some of the lingo, and there are plenty of resource sites out there that can help you. Do a search using keywords like dominant, master, dom, D-O-M-M-E, mistress, submissive. Luckily, you're in a major metropolitan area. You'll have no problem at all connecting with the perv community in your locale by just following some of the links you discover in your internet search. Most kink sites have bulletin boards and/or member profiles. Once you get your bearings and have a grip on some of the vocabulary, you ought to set up a profile for yourself. Be as clear about what it is that you want as possible. Big cities, like Chicago, also have perv organizations that welcome the novice kinkster like you to local social events for meets and greets. Some even have demos and workshops. You will do well to immerse yourself in this subculture because the more information you have, the more enlightened your future choices will be. When connecting online with other pervs, be courteous. You'll no doubt encounter an array of lifestyle choices and sexual proclivities, some of which may be off-putting to you. Remember, you are a guest here. Leave your uptight judgments and provincial attitudes at the door. You will have to earn the trust and respect of this community if you ever hope to be taken seriously by them. Once you've acclimated yourself to your new surroundings, set up a meeting with a dom who interests you. This should strictly be a vanilla meeting. Novice submissives like yourself can get a rush from this initial meeting. After all, you're finally coming face to face with the desire you've had for so long. Keep your wits about you, Tammy, and allow yourself a cooling off period before continuing. I suggest that you look for a seasoned dom. You should ask for and receive references from this dominant. These should include other submissives that this dominant has been with. A dom without references is either too new to the scene to have them, or there are problems that he or she is trying to hide from you. This should be a red flag for you. Before connecting with the dom, be sure to get his phone numbers, home, cell phone, and work. No beepers. Of course, you'll have to share your numbers with him as well. If you can't trust one another with phone numbers, there is no likelihood that this is going to be the match that is made in heaven. The more confident you are in the dom, the more trust you will be able to invest in the dom, and the safer you'll be. And since all sub-dom relationships are grounded in trust, there is no substitute for absolute trust. Finally, being a submissive is a state of mind. It is not a particular sex act. It is not a game. It is not role-playing. And it is not gender-specific. The best dom-sub relationships are those that express a mutuality of care and concern and trust. Good luck! Yikes, look at the time. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is the American College of Sexologists. As I mentioned to one of my correspondents earlier in the show, the ACS website at www.americancollegeofsexologists.org is a really great resource for people looking for sex-positive therapists. Visit the directory page. You will find listings for certified sexologists and sex therapists all over the world. If there is no one near you, contact the person closest to you and ask for a referral. Oh, and one more thing. Many of my fellow sexologists, erotologists, and therapists have websites featured in their directory listing. These are valuable assets for anyone looking to enrich, celebrate, and promote living a healthy and responsible sex life. Before I go, I want to call your attention to the lickety-split connection at drdicksexadvice.com. Remember, folks, no one's going to personally answer your phone call because it's voicemail. That's right. Dr. Dick is offering you a toll-free podcast voicemail phone number to call in your questions. You do want to be in one of my podcasts, don't you? Call now. The number, 866-422-5680. Again, the toll-free voicemail telephone number is 866-422-5680. And don't forget to look for Dr. Dick podcasts on iTunes and Sex Audia, that's Audia with an A, .com. On iTunes, you'll find me in the podcast section under Health subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe. I don't want you to miss even one exciting episode. Okay, until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.